on the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, Iran's new Supreme Leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, has issued his first public statement since taking over from his father. In the statement, which was read out on Iranian state TV, he said the closure of the Straits of Hormuz should continue and that US bases should be attacked in the region. In a moment, we get the latest from that region, as well as taking a deeper look at how Iran has been able to fight back. But first, let's have a listen to some of what the Supreme Leader had to say. No, we don't have that, I'm afraid. Now, joining us from Beirut is William Christou, journalist writing from The Guardian. We will go to you first, William. What exactly, first of all, say, what did you make of that public statement? Interestingly, it was a statement, not an appearance from Mojtaba Khamenei. What do we read into that?
Yeah, I think, you know, this doesn't do anything to allay the fears about the new Supreme Leader's health. He hasn't been seen in public since being appointed. And the Cypriot ambassador, the Iranian ambassador to Cyprus, said that he was wounded in a strike at the beginning of the war. So I think it's notable that he didn't appear in public. Besides his health, I think we are seeing what analysts have warned about the new Supreme Leader, is that he's not a conciliatory figure. He's a hardline figure, and his first statement sort of indicated that. He said that U.S. bases should be closed or be attacked, and that the Strait of Hormuz will not be open till the war stops.
Mm. He also vowed to avenge the martyrs of that attack. I suppose it's fair to say, even if he hadn't been a hardliner beforehand, his own personal losses over the last 2 weeks in terms of family losses would have hardened his heart, I imagine.
Yeah, I think, having a war launched on you probably does much to harden the heart.
Okay, what is the situation in Beirut today?
So the last 24 hours have been pretty intense. Last night we heard bombings throughout the night. We saw Israel repeatedly hit central Beirut. In one case, without warning, they struck an area where displaced families were sleeping. Killing 12 people, wounding 28. I went there this morning, and it's basically on the beachside, and it's where groups of tents are. And then they've hit two more buildings in central Beirut with warnings a couple hours ago. This comes after Hezbollah has launched its most intense attack on Israel since the war began, coordinating it with Iran. And basically what we're seeing is an intensification from both sides. Israel has now said that they're likely going to be expanding their campaign in Israel in Lebanon.
So things are going to get worse before they get better?
Definitely. More on the first part of that statement than the latter.
Okay. Obviously, Khamenei talking very tough. Is it possible, do we know, would there be any lines of communication behind the scenes, any diplomatic lines of communication about trying to find some kind of compromise where both sides could back down, or is that wishful thinking?
Listen, I think, you know, Iran has learned from past conflicts with the U.S. and Israel over the past 3 years. In the past, they've tried to act within what they thought the rules of engagement were, and each time they sort of took it on the chin. This time they're really acting and employing what people are calling the madman theory, trying to act as unpredictable as possible, inflict as much damage on the world economy and on the U.S. and its allies as possible. I think what they want to make sure is that they're not brought to a ceasefire, which will then just be a pause in hostilities, only for the U.S. and Israel to attack them again in a matter of months. They want to make sure that they inflict enough pain so that the U.S. and Israel think twice before attacking them again.
When she said, "I don't dance now, I make money moves," that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished.
they're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist, 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
Okay, William Christou, a journalist writing for The Guardian in Beirut, thank you indeed for talking to us. We're joined also by Patrick Bury, a senior security lecturer at the University of Bath and former NATO analyst and army officer. Patrick, do you agree with that analysis from William?
Yeah, I think the point about trying to reestablish deterrence through causing essentially, you know, a lot of costs to the US and Israel and the region makes a lot of sense, because they've lost their kind of conventional deterrence in the respect of their missile and drone attacks to a degree, you know, compared to where it was. And that was really shown last year in the June war when it became clear that they couldn't really defend their skies, and that gave obviously the sense to the Israelis and the Americans, and as well as of course the regime, the people inside Iran that were anti-regime to rise up. So I mean, it's been on a kind of losing streak, as it were, since then, because it's been exposed. So I think that is, yeah, exactly a good point. It's trying to reestablish deterrence by increasing costs to everyone in the region and showing that it can have an impact on global politics and the economy.
And they have an extraordinary ace in their sleeve, don't they, with the Strait of Hormuz? I mean, they have the ability, or perhaps you'll tell me I'm wrong, but it would seem they have an ability to bring the Strait to an absolute standstill.
They have a lucky geography, really, is what I'd describe it as, rather than an extraordinary ace. I mean, it's just something where you're going to flex, you flex. And we've seen that with drone attacks on shipping. You know, once there's a threat, the threshold for insurance goes up, and between the cost of that insurance and the willingness to insure the shipping and the risks, indeed, to the actual cargoes, it effectively closes or really significantly reduces.
Looking at comments from the UK Defence Secretary saying the UK is considering defending the Strait of Hormuz. How difficult would that be?
Well, they'd need the US to help them. And as far as I'm aware, the US Navy's not said they were ready to do the same, even though Trump suggested that they could, the US Navy could escort ships through. Obviously, some of these Navy ships have significant anti-ballistic missile, basically air defense systems, and a kind of bubble that they can put over a significant area. Whether there's a risk appetite that in the shipping industry or in the insurance industry in the current threat environment, I would probably be surprised if there was the appetite for that. But let's see if the situation de-escalates and it's part of a process where Iran agrees not to target shipping, or it can be limited much more by further Israeli and US action. But it doesn't seem they're there at the moment.
Iran may be weak militarily, but they must know that. I mean, Donald Trump is so susceptible to the movement of the markets. I saw today he was trying to talk up, saying actually the US is doing well out of higher oil prices because we're the biggest, saying America is the biggest producer of oil in the world. But the markets do not like uncertainty, and they've reacted negatively in the main to what's been going on. And Iran must be aware of that, how open to influence Donald Trump is by the movements of the stock markets and the bond markets.
I think there's a couple of things. There is the wider geopolitical, of course, and economic situation. I think the Gulf cooperation countries were caught a bit off guard of this, and then surprised at how quickly Iran, given it lost its deterrence, just went full whack at it in terms of escalating and hitting numerous different, you know, US bases, but also, as we've seen, airports, hotels, etc. So there's that element, of course, and they will, you know, oil is a card for them, and global instability is a card that they're trying to play. They've also, you know, what we see more recently is getting help from the Russians in terms of targeting. So they've hit some, you know, really high expense pieces of kit, and very rare pieces of kit, which the Americans have in terms of radar elements of their THAAD air interceptor batteries. You know, there's only eight, the Americans only have 8 of those in the world. And as far as we understand, 3, potentially 4 of them in the radar on them in the Gulf has been destroyed by very cheap drones. So they're getting into, and they're getting, as I said, help from the Russians with their targeting on those drones. So I think, you know, you can see the Bahrain air. port has been hit, the oil storage there. So there's a cost balance element here about them being able to actually target with pretty good accuracy quite expensive and strategically important parts of either the military or the regional infrastructure. And so I think that is imposing costs too on Trump as well. My personal think on thoughts on this is that the operations will probably continue until at least the weekend, and maybe they'll reach a decision point there where they balance how much of Iranian weapons and the whole military supply system behind their missiles and their drones have been degraded, destroyed, vis-a-vis the rising costs of this, as we're seeing at the moment.
Okay, Patrick Bury, a senior security lecturer at the University of Bath, former NATO analyst and army officer. Thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. You know that U2 song, Kira, Stuck in a Moment That You Can't Get Out Of? I have a sense that's where Donald Trump is at the moment.
How could you go to war on that basis? Do you know what I mean?
Very legitimate.
No exit
question.
Strategy, no clear objectives. It makes no sense.
It's the grand old Duke of York, isn't it? Marching the troops up to the top of the hill. And is he going to then march them back down again?
Very difficult thing to do.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.